Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How you doing, Shan?
I'm all right. How about you?
Not bad. in pandemic-adjusted terms, right?
That's right.
Later on in this episode, we're going to talk about what we can and can't control in this time.
Yeah.
Tools.
Seems like it's going to be a good theme.
We're going to use our tools.
We're going to use some tools.
Tools. So, we'd like to welcome our new listeners.
Welcome, new listeners.
And we'd like to thank our new supporters.
Thank you, new supporters.
So, first of all, new listeners, hi. It's wonderful to have you with us. You know, it's especially wonderful to have you with us in this time. We started this podcast like, 16 months ago or so. And it has really become, in this last like 2 months, especially resonant, I think, for both of us, just to have a place where we can hopefully be of some service to our humans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And we've been seeing this ripple out into the private Facebook group that is associated with this podcast. The activity in there has just exploded over the last month, and it just seems like the mutual support that we're able to do with one another, us and our people in there, is just tremendously meaningful to me personally.
Yes, me too. And, you know, getting to check in, recording this podcast every week and sort of like debrief from the past week and to talk through stuff that we're experiencing, it's helpful for me personally. And as these conversations continue online with our community, it's been a really rich and important part of my personal experience in all of this. And so those of you who are just joining us for the first time listening, we're so glad that you're here. And we really hope that that what we're doing here will be of some help to you in your life in this time.
And so the more astute new listeners might have just noticed me glossing over something about 30 seconds ago, which is private Facebook group. You might have pricked up your ears and been like, like Shan just was, what is that? Here's the deal. And it ties into the other thing I mentioned about 30 seconds ago, which is the concept of new supporters. First of all, we've had a lot of new supporters this week.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, so we sent out our first COVID-19 update. You and I did this weekend. And we sent it just to the people in our Misfit Stars community to begin with, the supporting members of the podcast, people in the associated private Facebook group.
Yeah.
And we just kind of let people know, like, look, here's what we're contending with. Here's what our year is going to look like. Totally different. Everything's going to change. We have to reinvent our entire business model as artists.
Yeah.
Mid-flight. It's like rebuilding a plane mid-flight. It's daunting, but I think we're up to it. And so we just wanted to let our people know, sort of like, here's what's coming down the pipe. And part of it is that we are going to be doing a tremendous push, not now, but about a month from now, for as many as people as possible to become supporting members of this community, of this podcast, to support us through it. And just alluding to that over the weekend led to a small torrent of two things happening. One, new subscribers, which is just wonderful. Thank you so much, people.
Thank you.
And second of all, there were a bunch of people who had been supporting at a lower level who went into the back end and upped it.
They leveled up.
They leveled
support.
Up. And that's amazing. We had a bunch of people who went from $3 a month to $20 a month. We had some people who went from $5 to $20. We had one person who went from $20 a month to $50 a month.
That's amazing. Thank you.
You know, and this is how Shannon and I are going to make it through this time. It's going to be by leaning on our community, you know. We're artists. We don't have trust funds. We don't have savings. We don't have a lot of the financial tools that maybe wealthier or better off people have at our disposal. But we do have one thing. Which is that we have a tremendous community around us. And, you know, the value proposition that we're going to be making to our people in this time is, do you value who we are in the world and what we do in the world? And if so, could you help us support that in this time?
Right.
And so we've dramatically opened up the structure of the support system, which, by the way, is at misfitstars.com/join if you're not yet in, or misfitstars.com/level up. So if you're listening to this, we have, as far as I can tell, about 80% of the people who listen to this podcast are not yet supporting members.
Oh, really?
If I'm reading the statistics correctly, right? And so what that means is that 4 out of every 5 people listening right now is not yet a supporting member. We would like to ask you, please become a supporting member. You being a supporting member of this podcast is one of the ways that Shannon and I are going to survive this time.
Absolutely. And also, if you are not able to be a monetary supporter of this podcast.
We get it.
We love that you're listening. Please continue to come here and listen if it's helpful and valuable to you in your life. The fact that there are other people who can, in their budgets, afford to support this podcast means that, like, part of why they're doing that is for you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so true.
So, like, thank you to those of you who are making that possible by being supporting members. And those of you who can't, just hang around. We love that you're here.
Yeah.
And so you were alluding earlier to this private Facebook group.
Yeah, yeah.
And so coming back around to that, one of the things that you get when you become a supporting member is that you get an invitation to our private Facebook group.
Which is so good.
Which has been so wonderful lately. The members there have been posting such meaningful conversation starters and sharing with everybody else where they're at in this time. And it's been so, so great.
And just supporting one another too. You know, it's just been so meaningful to me to see all these people who are just geographically far flung and who have not met anywhere else than in this group.
Right.
Just getting to know one another and getting to know one another's personalities and needs and quirks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just... There was a conversation about auras in there.
I love it.
I don't want to like scare you off if you're not a woo-woo type of person, but like one person just shared that she thinks that she might have an aura because she like sees and because she interacts with animals in a certain way.
Right, she had a question about it and someone else who's done some studying of it had some ideas and it was really lovely to watch them sort of interact with each other.
Yeah.
But like all sorts of different topics, you know, mental health related stuff, just dealing with the stress of this particular time that we're in, like all sorts of really great, you know, just perspectives there. And I love it. So when you become a supporting member, that's one of the places that you get an invitation to join us.
Yeah.
The other thing that in this moment right now, still where, what day is it? April 7th, we're recording this.
Yep. It'll be out on the 8th. This episode will.
Yeah. So for the next, slightly less than a month, one of the other things that you might get when you sign up are some thank you gifts, depending on the level that you sign up at. We've got sticker sheets for everybody, so
yay
stickers. And we also have some really great t-shirts and mugs that are thank you gifts at different levels, which we will continue to be doing until we do our big push for this sustainability fundraiser we're going to be starting in May. Mm-hmm. At that point, we just have decided it's probably not like fiscally responsible to be spending the amount of money that we need to spend on those thank you gifts of our supporters' money, you know, to do that. So we're going to be halting those thank you gifts come May. Mm-hmm. But the reason we're talking about it now is that if you've been thinking about becoming a member or you've been thinking about leveling up to a level that gets you one of those thank you gifts, you've got time to still do that between now and the beginning of May. So so now would be a great time to get in on, you know, early support. You would get a thank you gift. And also you'd be helping us because every bit of monthly support that we can increase between now and when we actually start the big push for this fundraiser is that much less that of a mountain we have to climb when we start the fundraiser.
That's right.
So you're really helping us by getting in on your leveling up and your signing up early.
Very true.
So thank you.
What we're asking everyone to do is just to kind of like look at where you're at in terms of like your job and your life and your income. And if you've got space in there where you could increase your support of this and you wouldn't notice it, it wouldn't be a strain or a stress. It would just be, be like buying an extra drink at the bar. You wouldn't even think about it, right?
If there were bars.
Hypothetically, if there were bars. Then please do that, you know? Like, if you're like, I'm just doing 5 because that's just kind of what I did, but I could do 20 and I wouldn't even notice it. Please do, because, you know, we aggregate our support from among our people, right? And so, yes, $20 a month from one person might feel like a drop in the ocean, but there is an ocean.
There is an ocean.
There's an ocean of other people out there. And if everyone is pitching in, we might be able to pull this thing off.
Absolutely.
And by this, I mean living indoors and continuing to eat food.
Yes. And also, besides those two basic things, being able to carry out some of the plans that we have for new ways in which to be of service and to do projects with our community to help us all get through and thrive during this time.
Which are going
to
be so cool.
We've got some great ideas. So you'll be helping make all those things possible for all of us as well. And so thank you. So you go to misfitstars.com/join if you're new. And if you are an existing member and you want to level up, you go to misfitstars.com/level up. And There you go. Thank you so much. Another thing that everybody can do to be helpful is to go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a 5-star review, a 5-star rating and a review saying why you love Misfit Stars.
Yeah.
Because that actually helps with getting our podcast into the ear holes of other people who like the kinds of podcasts that you do.
People like you.
Yeah. So, so that's a way that you can be helpful as well. So
thanks, people.
Thank you.
We appreciate your help. We appreciate your support. You know, people say things like, we couldn't do this without you. It's literally true.
It totally is.
Shannon and I do community supported art. If you're hearing my voice right now, you're part of our community.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, so how are we feeling this week? How are you feeling right now?
Oh, gosh. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
You go first. How are you feeling?
I'd be happy to. So right now, and I think that's a really important qualifier, right?
Yes.
Right now, I'm feeling pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've really been checking in with my experience of how I've been feeling a lot this week because it's become increasingly apparent to me that it's been changing a whole lot and that my subconscious life is a lot richer and more active right now than sometimes my conscious life is.
Oh, I totally get that.
Vis-a-vis my emotions.
Yeah.
And one way that I've been noticing this manifesting, which has been really interesting and weird, is that I've had a few episodes over this last week of this situation where in my mind, I feel calm, I feel happy, and I'm in a good mood.
Right.
But I am experiencing physical symptoms of anxiety.
Yeah.
Elevated heart rate.
Yeah.
Feelings in my chest or my stomach.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you ever get shortness of breath and you're like, oh, crap, that's a COVID symptom?
Right? Every single thing that could possibly be a COVID symptom, like right now when seasonal allergies are just kicking up.
I know.
It's very stressful.
It is. But not to derail you. You were saying like you were, like consciously maybe you feel fine, but you feel in your body things aren't quite right.
Yeah, and there's a real dissonance there, a real disconnect. Yeah. But like usually like your mind and your body are more or less in harmony. That's the idea, right? Like,
sure.
And also like if your body is feeling some physical distress, theoretically, mentally, you might be feeling that too. And I have just had this complete disconnect at times between the two things where like my body's experiencing almost a fight or flight on the subconscious level.
Yeah.
And my mind is just like kind of zenned out.
Yeah.
Like not bliss, not like I'm meditating, not like I'm being like a hippie about it. I'm just saying I feel clear and okay.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Well, I think that what you're describing is something that people experience during trauma. I think that that's what you're describing is your conscious brain doing what it needs to do to cope with the moment. And so giving you that sense of like, I'm fine, everything's fine, you know, but your body is still experiencing the ambient stress of this time, the overwhelming nature of this problem that the world is facing, the ways in which our leadership in some cases have been just absolutely botching the response and not doing what they need to take care of us, the financial, you know, uncertainty, the change in plans, the change in routine, the stress of going into the groceries, I mean, all these things that are stressors.
Yeah.
You know, your body is still having to process all that, even if your mind is doing the coping mechanism of, no, we're fine. Everybody's fine.
you know,
I think you're describing exactly what happens when we go through, when we experience trauma. And make no mistake, we're all collectively going through trauma right now. This is a trauma. And I think it's important to note that that's your response that you just described is a potential reaction to this experience.
Yeah.
You know, in a really valid, normal way.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. It's one of those examples of something being the new normal, right?
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's a valid, normal response to a deeply abnormal situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well, I feel ya.
Oh, right on. So, how about you?
How about me? In this moment, I feel fine.
Okay.
The sky is blue today.
It's beautiful.
It's sunny. That really helps. We had a day off yesterday, and I feel like that was legitimately restorative. And you know, I honestly don't have any more to add to that at this moment. Right now, I'm feeling good.
Great.
I feel good.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Well, and I feel good about the opportunity to be recording this podcast right now and doing something that feels to me to be actively doing something that helps me and that I hope also helps others, you know, that really helps in this time. So I feel good.
That's
good.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah.
So what has our experience been this week?
Yeah. Well, gosh, we worked on a lot of music.
We worked on so much music. This was really the week when we really started working on your album, I'd say in earnest.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Which is always such an exciting time. Yeah. We're like 4 songs in at this point in terms of like stuff that we've touched and gotten, you know. When I say touch, that typically means that we get it to somewhere between 90 and 95% done.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
There'll for sure be, and then you just put it aside and you try not to listen to it for as long as possible.
Yeah.
So the first listen you do, you can do with fresh ears and then you can immediately hear all the stuff that needs fixing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then it's good.
Yeah. We worked on music a lot and we did, I mean, working on it together. Like there's the first part of the making of the album is me heading upstairs by myself and doing solo writing time and solo time making my, you know, demo recordings and you being downstairs doing your own work on other stuff, you know? But it's been really helpful to me this week to be doing it together. Like that's...
Yeah. I've needed to nest up a lot.
I've needed to be in the same space and, you know, it's been good to be able to really launch into that.
So we have this peacock blue chair in our living room and our living room's right next to the studio. We took down a wall between what used to be an old back bedroom and the living room and now it's just one sort of big L-shaped space. And this blue chair sits sort of on one side of that divide, typically as part of the living room. But what we do is we grab it. By the way, if anyone here saw any photos or was lucky enough to go see one of the shows on Michelle Obama's speaking tour last
year. It's that chair.
It's that same blue chair. She clearly got it at Cost Plus World Market also. And brought two of them out on tour. So it's that same chair. So now you can visualize it. And we take that chair and we bring it in near where I sit in the studio and we call it Shannon's nest.
It's my nest.
Because it's got arms and it's got a back and you can kind of nest up in it. And we put it in such a place that to her right, she has like a piano bench that's by an electric piano, a Wurlitzer that we have sitting there that she can use as like a little low table. And then she's also by my desk, which she can use for snacks or treats. And it's the whole environment is very nest-like. You know, once she gets in there, she doesn't really need to leave. Maybe we'll give her a little blanket. Maybe she'll fall asleep. It's like her little comfort place to be and work on music with me.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
It is very nurturing and good.
And you needed to nest up this week.
I did need to nest up.
And that's valid.
It was really good.
It was nice for me to have the company too.
I also needed a haircut in a bad way this past week.
Yes.
Like I cut my hair short several months ago and like short hair isn't really forgiving about going without trims. And so I'm like, okay, we're doing it. Jamie, you're my new stylist.
Yeah.
And you did an amazing job.
Like, thank you.
I feel really cute.
Yeah. It's a legit good haircut.
And it really helps to have my haircut and to feel cute. Even though I'm not going anywhere and you're the only person who's seeing me, I see myself in the mirror. I'm like, oh, hey, cute hair.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good.
I think it's good too.
So that was a fun development this week.
That was fun.
You did some other music stuff this week.
Yes.
Developing some more stuff for your remote, they've always been remote producing gigs. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, or a couple of them have been, but this one got even more remote because the band was going to go into a studio to record parts, but they can't do that.
So it's a band in Austin called Zachman, and it's mainly... At the head of it is this my friend Johnny Zachman, but he has the second mainest guy in his band is this guy Mike, and Mike is his drummer and he's an amazing drummer, just lovely human being, really good musician. You know how there's like it's drummers when they are good musicians are some of the best musicians.
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Because they not only define completely the feel of the song, but like a good drummer can sculpt what the other musicians sound like they're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you can really change what it seems like the guitar is doing or what it seems like the bass is doing by how you use your hands or your feet when you're a drummer. It's really remarkable, you know? And he's just a wonderful drummer. But like he doesn't really record himself, you know? And what they've been doing in the past is just to take him into a studio for a day once the songs are kind of ready to go.
Right.
Johnny and I will work on the songs and sort of hash out the basic structure and everything.
Right.
Then Johnny will take Mike into the studio for a day and bang out all the drum parts and then they'll sort of do all the rest of the instrumentation.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a no-go. You can't go into the studio now.
No.
That's not a socially distanced approved activity.
Right.
So I spent 2 solid hours on the phone or on like a video call with Mike a couple of days ago, giving him just an overarching Pro Tools tutorial.
Right.
Pro Tools being the music recording program that I use and that Johnny uses and now that Mike uses.
Right.
He had touched upon it in a college course many years ago. And so he had some familiarity with it, at least
cool.
enough to look at it and be like, I have seen these screens before in my life.
Great.
You know, which is a huge thing.
Great.
So it wasn't visually overwhelming for him. And I just kind of walked him through every single bit of everything he would need to know. It turns out that he actually has sort of an old like 8-channel interface and a bunch of just random microphones, but we were able to sort of sort through and be like, use this one on the kick drum, use this one on the snare.
Yeah.
And he's going to be able to make like 8-channel drum recordings for me.
That's amazing.
In his garage.
That's
and
so
I
good.
And I sort of talked him through how to do it and what and basic microphone technique and positioning and phase coherency.
That's
and just like,
so great.
And I think he's going to do a good job. Like he's a smart guy and he was picking it up and it's weird, right? Like we're just having to figure out new and different ways
to do
things.
Well, in a lot of different ways, you know, but it's interesting to be sort of watching how our music friends are doing things differently. Our friend SJ, who Stephanie Ann Johnson, she's a musician here in Tacoma. She was talking to me on Facebook yesterday about how she was really missing making music with other people. She has a band who's just banging, but they can't play together right now.
Yep.
And she was describing how she really needs that, you know, playing with others. And, you know, I was just trying to encourage her, we're going to get to do the things with others again, but until then, you know, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then she replied back saying something about how she recorded music into a computer by herself for the first time and like empowering herself in new ways, you know? And I think this is going to be a time when a lot of us are going to be figuring out how to empower ourselves in new ways to do things that we didn't imagine we could do for ourselves before, you know? And
you know what's really exciting about that is that so much of the infrastructure and groundwork for that has been laid, technologically speaking, in the last 20 years. Like, if this were 20 years ago and you were in Stephanie's position, you'd be SOL.
Right,
it's true. Just wouldn't have any kind of tools. But, like, anyone with a phone now can record at least on some level, even in a multi-track way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you have even the simplest, like, $40 audio interface and one microphone. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
get a lot done.
$70 worth of gear.
Yeah.
$80 if you include the cable.
Yeah.
You could record an entire album that way.
Yeah.
And it could sound good.
It's pretty great.
You know, or you could send it to someone like me and it could sound great, you know?
Yeah.
But even just doing it yourself.
Yep.
You know, like, so I think that for so many people, the answer to the question, what do I do in this next time will be you do it in the computer.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The computer will have the tools and a phone is just a computer.
Right. Well, it's great to be able to figure out ways to, like, for you to get to continue to encourage other people and do what you do with them remotely.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have had our second within a couple months or a couple weeks mother/son mm-hmm. mentorship retreat here a few weeks ago, and that became impossible when the social distancing, you know, all
when the government told them they couldn't leave Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't come up, but you're going to be able to continue doing some mentorship stuff with him in the coming months until we can actually do that in-person mentorship retreat again. So, like, you know, we're innovating. We're all innovating. We're all figuring out new ways to do stuff. And that's, you know, it's good to exercise our muscles of possibility.
Yes.
In that way.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I've just been doing some sort of ad hoc mixed mentorship with this friend of ours from online. He lives in St. Louis.
No,
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah.
KCMO. Ooh. That's like a local chant. Did you know that?
Yeah, but I think that it has roots in anti-Native Americanism or whatever
what?
You want to call that.
I had no idea.
I think it has to do with the chiefs and...
I think it might be more of a sports thing than an explicitly anti-Native American thing.
I think it's
meant, but yes, they have a problematic sports name.
It's meant to mock an Indian chant.
Is it?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
I had never heard that.
I'm pretty... Because they do that with like... Don't they have like a tomahawk... hand motion they do with it.
I have no idea.
I think so.
I don't follow sports, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
So. I've only ever heard it at music gigs, but it's a pretty standard thing that you'll hear there, like in the audience. People will just like break it out.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure it's very pervasive culturally.
Huh.
Does it make it not problematic?
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, I trust you. I've never heard that, but I trust you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Well, sorry to do the anti-Native American chant on the podcast. That's horrible.
Or maybe not anti, but like appropriative. Appropriate? Is that the word?
I don't even know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know.
There you go. New information. So anyway, music, it's been great. We've been adapting. We've been moving forward. We took a
point
day
being,
off.
Though,
oh.
That this guy who lives in Kansas City is he has a record that he's making
by
himself in GarageBand in his computer.
Okay.
He sent me a song like, I don't know, a month ago or so. And was like, can you just tell me what you think about this if I'm on the right track? It has turned into me just like mentoring him through mixing
his
record.
Yeah, I love that.
Like he sends me mixes and I send him notes and he sends me more mixes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing it all himself in GarageBand, but doing a great job.
Yeah.
And it's just this neat thing, you know, it's just another way that I can like help another musician do something. I don't know. It feels good. I guess that's the point.
That's good. That's important.
We're looking for things in this time that help us feel good. Helping other musicians make recordings makes me feel real good.
Absolutely.
If you're listening to this and you are a musician who's doing some sort of home recording and you need help or mentorship, you could just message me.
Do that. Yeah.
Get your stuff sounding good.
Another thing that feels good is taking intentional days off. Mm. We're bad at doing that, generally speaking, but like I think we've recognized that
we're the kings of working 20 days in a row.
Actually need to take time off. And I love how we did this last, we were on Saturday, we're like, okay, Saturday night, we're like, should we take Sunday off or should we take Monday off? And we looked at the weather and it was going to be a little bit nicer on Monday than on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, that could be a factor for Monday. And so we ended up pushing it off to a Monday day off, which had the added benefit of us getting to look forward to our day off all day on Sunday, which like the anticipation of day off
cool.
is almost as great as having the day
off. It felt like, Sunday felt like the last day of school or something.
It totally did. So we took yesterday off and it was wonderful. And we went for a little drive around town. And we actually got out and walked near the water.
Yeah.
Staying far away from all other people. And it was great. It felt great. And then we came home and had dinner and then we watched back-to-back Melissa McCarthy movies.
Yeah.
Which was just silly. And the second one wasn't even all that great, but it was still
charming, so
much fun. Like, I think we've learned that in this time, like we need experiences that are just light and not intellectually, you know, deep. We just need to escape into just some silliness every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it was really good to be able to do that last night.
We ate a little bit of junk food.
Uh-huh.
Realized that we've not been doing a good job on stocking up on ice cream, but we rectified that.
Yeah.
Silly, it's weird. Like, we tried watching different kinds of movies on previous days off. Like, 2 weeks, we've been taking one day off a week, more or less, right?
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, we watched some kind of heavier movie
We watched Motherless Brooklyn.
And Ford versus Ferrari. Motherless Brooklyn was last week. 2 weeks ago, we watched Ford versus Ferrari, and the good guy did not win. And it was really a downer, right? It was really a drag. Like, I didn't feel emotionally resilient enough to deal with that. Like, it was true, and it was good. It was historically accurate and good storytelling and a great movie, but I just ended up feeling crushed. Like, I just need this one thing.
I just need that good guy to win.
And so last week, we kind of split it, right? We watched Motherless Brooklyn, and the good guy didn't exactly win in that one. But then we watched a second movie, and I can't even remember what it was, but the good guy did win. And that was great. It was another one with like, it was 21 Bridges.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it was like a New York, it was like a cop drama. It was great.
Yeah, thriller.
Yeah.
Lots of people did not win in that movie.
But they were only bad guys.
Yeah.
And the good guys did win.
The good guys did win.
And that was good.
Yeah.
But something I think I really learned about that is that right now what I need is just feel-good entertainment in that way. Like, I can't be dealing with a lot of drama and ambiguity.
Right.
I need to know going into the movie that every single thing will be tied up with a little bow and will work out well.
Yes. This is why my mom's watching Hallmark movies right now.
I don't want any,
for sure.
I don't want any loose ends.
Yeah.
And I don't want any goddamn negativity.
It's really good. That's interesting. I wonder how if we're going to see a shift in what kind of things are produced in like TV and film coming through this time and coming after this time. Like, I wonder how that's going to shift what our appetites are for what we consume as entertainment.
It's really interesting. If you think back to like times of national trauma and healing, like there have been, in each of them, two divergent strains of approaches to it, right?
Uh-huh.
There's been the completely escapist mentality. You know?
Melissa McCarthy comedies.
Think about the two different kinds of music that were being made in the early 80s, right? When there was like this massive recession in the U.S. and a whole bunch of national trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And
the AIDS epidemic.
And the AIDS epidemic and the whole thing. And there was like some really dark goth kind of, you know, metal and all these dark subgenres that hadn't existed before came out.
Right.
And then also at the same time, there's just like this, all the 80s pop that we know.
Right.
You know, just joyous and transcendently so, you know. celebratory even.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this time.
Yeah.
In that regard.
It really will.
So we have some stuff planned to talk about. What do we say? We take a little bit break.
You have to pee, right?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
A little bit.
Pee happens.
Yeah.
But what do we take a little break? And then when we get back, we're going to talk about, just it's become apparent that, some of the tools that, you and I have gotten to a chance to learn and adopt in our lives over the years, vis-a-vis our recovery specifically, have been really helpful in this time. And so we're going to talk about sort of one of those and tease it apart in a way, the idea of identifying things that we have the power to change and things that we do not have the power to change and what to do about those things. So we're going to dive into that after the break.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Back in a sec. Exciting, huh?
The bathroom.
Yeah. Let's keep it real. The place we're back from is the bathroom. So, good. So, identifying things that are and aren't in our power to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the part of this, part of the conversation came from, you wrote a post on Facebook this last week about sort of like having, feeling like maybe you come into this time with a few more tools under your belt in terms of how to deal with uncertain times and difficult times or trauma.
You're right. So, yeah. So it's interesting, right? There are some things that happen in your life that suck and you never really learn why they happen and they just suck and they're traumas and you move past them. Uh-huh. And then there are other things that happen in your life that suck and are traumas, but then many years later reveal themselves to have been extraordinarily useful.
Sure.
And this is for sure the latter category.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about specifically, I mean, you know, I've got a well-documented history with sobriety and, you know, then my time pre-sobriety, right? Which was for sure traumatic. I was homeless for part of that and I mean, a very small part of that, thank God, but it was terrifying nonetheless. You know, there's no good amount of time for that to be the situation. And then, you know, when you and I were getting your music career off the ground, so I was touring when I met you, and I'd been touring with bands, and that was working out pretty well. But then, like, the bottom fell out of the music industry because of streaming in, like, 2009, 2010.
Right.
So, and so, like, I didn't have any tours to go on. You had lost your substitute teaching credential that you were using to kind of subsidize yourself when you were getting started. Yeah. So all of a sudden, we were just out there with no safety net, right?
Right.
We couldn't just, like, send me out on some big money-making tour to, like, you know, fill our bank account back up. That just wasn't happening all of a sudden in, like, 2011, 2012. Right. 2013. I mean, there were years, there was literally like a 3-year stretch of time where you and I routinely didn't pay rent until the 5th of the month, the 15th, the 21st of the month.
We had a very understanding landlord.
And thank God, because, you know, like, could have been homeless again, right? Like, it was just this terrifying time. And like, even having an understanding landlord didn't make it feel any less terrifying, you know, because there's always just that unknown of like, what if this is the month when he stops being understanding?
Right.
Waiting for that notice on the door every single day.
Totally. And you know? So going through that time, going through your time of, you know, getting sober and being homeless, like you learned a lot of tools about how to deal with.
We both did.
We both did. And I did too. But also, I mean, like, let's not like discount the notion that like the reason that you drink is because you've got stuff from, you know, earlier in your life that has, you know, made its way into your coping mechanisms that are unhealthy. The reason that I was in recovery was because there was stuff from my, you know, my previous life that in ways that I had learned to cope with stuff that, you know, I don't know that I would go so far as, well, I wouldn't go so far as to call any of it trauma. But
I don't think that's right.
Maybe I'm being dismissive, but you know, like,
I think everyone tends to minimize their own trauma. I think that's a common thing.
Sure.
But I know what your story is, and I think it was for sure traumatic.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. And yes, I probably just need to name that. But so the point is that the reason you get into a recovery program, no matter what you're recovering from, codependency, alcoholism, whatever, you know, the reason that you do that is because you've got stuff in your life that led you to behave in ways to cope with that stuff to cope with your trauma in ways that became unhealthy for you. And so you got to learn how to deal with that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we end up with tools that, you know, helped us untangle the trauma, untangle those experiences, untangle our responses to them that weren't working for us or serving us, you know? And so there's that we've been able to lean on in this time too, which has been so valuable.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of folks as I'm just observing how different people are, you know, walking through this time. And I, you know, there are just some basic tools that I know that I have at my disposal that are part of my regular practice of my life mm-hmm. to keep myself healthy in normal times.
Yeah.
That, you know, I wish I could impart, like, oh, this would be so helpful for you, yeah. you know, and it would, you know, yes, it would still be hard, but maybe this would help ease the pain or the struggle in some way, you yeah. know. And one of those tools has been very clearly in this time too, for me, has been to identify, this very simple, you know, tool that I learned in recovery, which is there are two categories of things. There are things over which I have the power to change, and there are things over which I do not have the power to change. And what I get to do, once I can identify those two categories of things, then I can decide and figure out how to let go of the stuff I can't change.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can decide what I actually can do about the stuff that's in my power to yeah. change and take action. And it makes me feel like I'm moving forward and that I'm actually empowered in my life and that this all isn't completely out of control, yeah. you know?
By the way, for people who aren't steeped in recovery, which is hopefully most of you, although, yeah, maybe not, because these are good tools.
Yeah.
This is very succinctly summed up in the Serenity Prayer, which you may already have some glancing familiarity with, right?
Right.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and this is the key part, the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
And that wisdom to know the difference, that's it. They kind of buried the lead, right? Like the most important part of it is the last part.
Yes.
And that's the crux of it is honing in on that ability within yourself to correctly identify the things that are and are not in your power.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which for a lot of us, like, you know, us alcoholics, we codependents. I mean, you scratch the surface of any alcoholic, there's a codependent right underneath. You know what I
and
mean?
And just people in general. I mean, yeah. I think this is, you know, yes.
Yeah, it's really hard for some people to, you know, intuitively grasp what is and isn't something that they can control.
Yes.
You know? Like, I think that there is an essential struggle for control at the core of the human condition.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that maybe one of the defining characteristics for each of us in terms of how emotionally successfully we end up living our life is how well we get our arms around this idea.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because I think that you and I both know, I'm sure every single person listening right now can name people in their life who fall into each of those two categories. The people who seem happy and joyous and free and unburdened by control issues. And then the other group of people who seem anxious and controlling and not accepting mm-hmm. and, you know, and it's not good, right? Like you don't want to be in that second group of people. It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's it eats away at you on the inside all of the time.
Yeah.
It causes you to chew yourself up from the inside out.
Right.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
Yep. Been there, done that.
Yeah, right.
Still struggle against it some days.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's a thing, right? Like all of this stuff, like it's not like school where like you take the course and then you take a test and if you pass the test then you've got your degree and you're done. Like
right.
you never get your life skills sobriety degree, right?
No.
It's like they say that we are granted a daily reprieve based on maintenance of our spiritual condition. Super important to me to note that doesn't mean religious. It just means how is your spirit doing?
Yeah.
How are you doing on the inside?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you keep checking in on a daily basis with how you're doing on the inside and really keep doing the work, that's kind of the point. You have mm-hmm. to keep doing the work.
Right.
You don't just get to do it one time. Be like, well, I maintained my spiritual condition back in 2004 and now I'm good.
That's like saying you gave your car an oil change 10 years ago and you're good.
That's right. It's so true. It's such a good metaphor, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm the metaphor girl.
I love it.
Well, so we made a little list of just kind of, you know, to flesh out this idea of putting things in categories of what we can control and what we cannot control.
We made pairs
of these things. Like,
that are relevant to this time.
Yes, relevant to their little relative pairs.
Yeah. It's like Goofus and Gallant. sort of, right? Goofus thinks he can change this. Gallant knows that he can't, but he can do this. Amazing. Did you ever read Goofus and Gallant, any of y'all, at the dentist office?
I did not.
Let us know in the comments.
I only know because you've told me about it. Oh, but now I know.
It was in like, what was the name of that magazine that they always had at the dentist office?
Oh, Highlights.
Highlights, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was a cartoon of Highlights.
I never actually read Highlights because it looked cheesy, so I didn't read it.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not saying it wasn't cheesy. I'm just saying I was at the dentist's office. It was at the dentist's office. Yeah. I was a little bit of a bookworm when I was seven, so there you go.
When you were seven, huh?
still slightly nerdy, could be said. So let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
I think probably the biggest thing, and this is, it's going to sound so obvious and dumb when we say it, but I think honestly, this is probably more profound than it might sound.
Yes.
Something that we can't control is that this is happening.
That there's a virus called the novel coronavirus, and that it causes a disease called COVID-19 that is very infectious and very devastating, and it exists in our world, and it has spread in a way that is out of our control.
It treats every single thing as a host. It travels at lightning speed.
Yeah.
It attaches itself ferociously, and it is spreading around the world, has already spread around the world, and now we're just waiting for it to manifest and metastasize.
Right. And the fact that these social distancing measures that we are all undertaking because of it in order to slow the spread of the disease is part of the condition we're in. All of that stuff, it is.
Yeah.
And we do not have the power to change it. And it sounds kind of ridiculous, I think, when you first identify, I don't personally have the power to change the existence of coronavirus.
It's like saying you can't change the sun.
Yeah, the weather.
Obviously, yeah.
But I think there's real value in identifying the fact that this is what is.
Yeah.
Like, just sit with that for a minute.
And just so you can accept it.
Just so that there's a moment of acceptance. And redoing that exercise, for me, often on a daily basis, I'm confronted with this reality and I feel this tension in me. And if I can be like, okay, well, this is what is, I can't change it, there's a little bit of a reprieve from that stress and anxiety that my body feels about it, about the existence of it.
Something for me that's a really good cue for me to know that I need to really just sit with that for a minute and do some work around that on any given day is if I start thinking thoughts or having feelings of, I just wish this weren't happening, or I just wish this weren't the case.
Yeah.
That is a real clue for me that my brain is trying to engage in some denial-based thinking.
Yes.
Which is unproductive and creates a tension with actual observable reality.
Yes.
And that tension is where we feel stress and discomfort.
Yes.
Right? And so whenever I'm feeling like that, I really know that I need to right then stop whatever I'm doing and just take a good minute or so just to really get my head back around the idea that this is happening, that it is real, that I can't control it, and that I need to accept it.
Yes.
Because then there's no tension there.
Right.
And I might not like where I am at, but at least I'm not experiencing a dissonance between what my brain is trying to think about it and what is actually the case.
Yep.
And that's an improvement.
Absolutely. I think it's a really, really important part of this. And we'll probably be that on a daily basis for a good long time to come. But the flip side of that is that once I kind of get to the place of, okay, here's this massive thing that I don't have the power to change, that exists, and I accept that. I accept it, and I let go of any notion of me trying to change it. Then I have the room in my brain to focus on what I do have the power to change with regard to the virus. And in this case, we do have the power. Each one of us has the power to take personal responsibility for our own health, our own personal health, and our collective safety.
Yes.
I mean, it's really, you know, maybe the starkest example ever that we've lived through in which small personal actions have such huge collective societal ramifications.
Yeah.
We really do have power. We really have power to serve the common good, to get through this in the best possible way by taking our personal responsibility seriously and engaging that power.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, this isn't in our notes, but like you and I, so you and I went to the grocery today. It wasn't a full-on grocery trip, right? But it was just like a little go back and get a couple of things. Mostly you and I have been going to Costco and then to Fred Meyer, which is just kind of the more general, you know, regular grocery.
We stock up.
Yeah. Today we had to go over to pick up a piece of mail that was waiting for us at our UPS store. And so there we were close to the Bougie Market, right? It's called Metropolitan. It's really nice. It's like sort of a private Whole Foods, like a small non-national Whole Foods kind of feeling situation. It's mm-hmm. really, really nice. It attracts a wealthier clientele. You know, we can't right. do all of our shopping there, but you know, we can go and stop. We typically get milk and eggs there.
Maybe right? We sometimes do,
because they have farm fresh eggs that are actually a really good deal. So that's great. So we get those. It was really interesting me to notice today. Like, so you and I have been going to Costco and to the regular market. We've just been going to the places regular people go, and people have been great for weeks now about staying away from each other and being really overtly conscious about that, making gesticulative gestures toward one another, making it really obvious that they
like
are aware of your safety.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about it and they care.
Yeah.
And also wearing masks.
Yeah.
Right? People have been wearing masks at Costco and Fred Meyer for 2 weeks now, increasingly, you know, but for sure going back at least that far. I was struck today in the Bougie Market at how few people were wearing masks and how few people seemed like they really cared at all. Like, there were people who were purposely cutting each other off with their carts, coming within a foot and a half of one another, you know?
Weird.
Like, not just being weird about social distancing, but being like just actively rude, you know? And the point I want to make here is that it really shone a light on me, for me, on the idea that in this time, it's going to become really clear who views themselves as being part of a society and who views themselves as being more of like an island.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, yeah. There
were a lot of island people in that store today.
Yeah.
You know? And it's very weird. I mean, I think there's a bigger conversation to be had about the isolating power of wealth and the idea that like rules are for poor people and that, you know, if you have money, you can do what you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange, but I wanted to note that.
And also it probably would be difficult to draw like large scale conclusions from one experience at a grocery store today. It could have just been the people we happened to encounter today.
Could be.
But fair point with the like, yes, we all get to decide how much we're going to engage in participating and giving our power to the common good in this time, you know?
Yeah.
But it is also very empowering to do that, when we can, you know, train our focus on that part of our power, you know, being diligent about sanitizing every package that comes to the door.
Yeah.
It's stupid and I hate it.
Yeah, it's the worst.
But it is
stressful.
Something that we can do to protect our own health and safety and to protect the health and safety of our community and the world at large, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the first pair.
All right, what's the next can pair?
Oh, man. I'm looking at the order you put them in and you just went for a doozy next. Okay, so this has been really frustrating for me, this first cant.
Yeah.
the cant of this pair. To watch it's been frustrating for me. It's not about only me. I know lots of folks are frustrated about this, but to watch the absolute, what's the word to use? Bungling is too frivolous a word.
The word that you told me when we were coming up with our script that I transcribed here is batshit crazy.
Of our
I think that stands.
Federal administration's response to all of this. Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
Batshit it's crazy.
It is absolutely that.
Yeah. By the way, what an ironic term to use in this time for a disease that came from bats, right? Being exposed to guano is where the term like can make you literally go crazy, and that's where the term batshit crazy comes from. So in a time of coronavirus, that's just a little added
weird
bonus.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I we don't have TV. So I have not watched, you know, any of these daily quote unquote press briefings. Really, they're just free advertisements.
Yeah. What they are is
they're free political ads.
They're campaign rallies.
Yeah. But so I haven't watched them because we don't have TV. I've watched a few clips here and there that people have posted online, but I definitely see people like, you know, on social media talking about how frustrated they are watching these, you know, these press briefings every day and how mad they are at the president. And it's like, well, you could stop watching. They're not worth anything. They're not giving facts. He's, you know, touting treatment with a drug that's not been proven to actually be beneficial and actually might be harmful to people. Like, it's anti-science. It's uncompassionate. It's just like,
it's all the bad things and none of the good things.
Yeah, to watch and not just the press briefings themselves, but just the actual response. The fact that You know, we learned yesterday in the news that there were memos circulating in the White House at the end of January warning that if nothing were done, that this disease could kill up to 2 million Americans. Yeah. This was stuff that was being talked about in the White House at the end of January.
It was only half a million in that first memo. The end of February one was a 2 million
one. Sorry, I got that wrong.
But still, that's so many people.
That's still, and the fact that they didn't start doing anything.
No.
Not one single thing.
No, man,
until the middle of March.
Yeah.
They lost so much time in producing new ventilators for hospitals that were going to be overwhelmed.
Sure.
Masks,
medication,
actually
name it.
Invoking the Defense Production Act to make American companies start producing productive equipment.
And then also distributing it. What we have now is a situation where a bunch of companies have made N95 masks and they're sitting on them in warehouses because the federal government is not giving them any guidance as to where to send it. There's no centralized federal government response to this at all. He's leaving it to be a 50-state solution,
right,
which is absolutely insane because what's happening is that all of these 50 states are competing with one another for resources, you know?
It's awful.
And how is it fair to make, like, Wyoming compete with California? You know what I mean?
Right.
Who do you think has a better budget to buy masks? Does it mean that everyone in Wyoming should just not have masks because California has more money? It's
right.
Insanity. The whole thing is just wild.
Absolutely insanity. I saw that the other day that the governor of California was actually putting together a consortium of states to buy and distribute needed equipment in bulk.
To bargain collectively.
Something that the federal government could have been doing since frickin' January.
Yeah.
But the governors are coming up with, what, like a shadow federal government in order to like get the job done.
That's literally what's happening is a bunch of states' governors are reinventing the concept of federal government.
Yes.
Because literally the problem that they're tackling is what if we had a unified body. A unified body that could work on all of our behalves at once. And that's what the fucking federal government is. It's just like mind-boggling to watch this all happening.
So we've really
so there's that
colorfully
that's the cant
we've colorfully illustrated this thing that I'm frustrated, I'm mad,
terrified
also about the way in which our federal government has not been handling this
and I
situation.
Want to be really specific about why I'm mad and terrified. As with so many things in situations like this, it's not because I necessarily think that it's going to affect me first or the most. It's because I have compassion and empathy for the people who it will affect, the people who are in higher risk populations, the people who are elderly, the people without money, the people without resources, who always get the shit end of the stick when people like this act in this way.
Right.
When people in power act like this.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Exactly. So I'm mad, I'm frustrated, I'm scared, and all
that's
that.
What we can't control.
And I can't control it. So
that 5-minute rant, that's the what we can't control.
But you know, it's important for me to do the 5-minute rant.
Yeah.
It's important for me to identify all of the reasons why I'm feeling how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that to be like, and that goes in column A.
That's the acceptance.
That's the one,
right?
That's the thing that I have to set aside and let go of the notion that I can control that because I cannot. And
it's someone else's side of the street.
And it does me no emotional good at all to linger on the idea that it should be different.
Yeah.
It should be different. But it doesn't do me any good to try to bend my mind around, I wish it were different.
To try to bend it with your mind.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. But it is what is.
You can't do Jedi mind tricks on this.
No. But there is a big flip side to this coin. There is a column B, column B of what I do have the power to change in this particular area, in this particular arena. And that is, I'm on my phone weekly to calling my senators and congressperson.
You called your congressperson over breakfast this morning.
Yes. Specifically the issue that seems really relevant today in terms of like putting pressure on my congresspeople is the idea that in whatever next relief bill there's going to be, and there will need to be another one, that I want to see my representatives demanding that a condition for support of any new relief bill is that included in that bill are provisions for national vote by mail for the November election. Because what we're seeing right now, like today, as we're recording this on Tuesday, they're having an election in Wisconsin, a primary election, in the middle of a frickin' pandemic.
Yep.
The Republican legislature there forced the governor, the governor tried to delay the election for the safety of people and to make sure that people had the actual opportunity to exercise their constitutional right to vote.
Yeah.
He tried to delay the election and to increase absentee ballot voting. The Republican legislature there just absolutely ripped to shreds all of the governor's efforts to keep the people safe and give them the opportunity to actually exercise their right to vote. And they forced them to have the election today. So as a result, there were supposed to have been like 130 polling locations around the city of Milwaukee.
173.
Oh, is that right? I'm sorry, 173. There are five. Five polling places for the entire city of Milwaukee.
And the videos are wild.
And this is affecting, this is a matter of the survival of our democracy. If we don't get to actually exercise our right to vote.
Then we don't have a democracy.
Then we don't have a democracy.
We don't have legitimate government if only a minority of people are able to vote for it.
And the Republicans in that legislature, let's just break it down a little bit. In the last election, 60% of Wisconsinites voted for a Democratic state representative.
Yes. Overwhelming support for Democratic
candidates. But because of the way that the Republicans have gerrymandered those districts, Republicans have complete control of the legislature.
Yeah, like 70%, 73%, something like that.
Yeah, they've already...
Veto-proof majority.
They have already smashed the rules to make sure that they win.
Yeah.
And that's undemocratic. And the fact that they're in power right now makes them able to force people to go out and vote today. They understand that the fewer people vote, the more that they'll be able to win.
Yeah. When lots of people vote, Republicans, generally speaking, don't do very well because their ideas and policies are unpopular broadly.
Yes.
Which is why they cheat.
Yes. This is cheating to win. So,
but again,
so,
we're kind of back over in the can't column
right now.
Well,
we are and we aren't, right? Because what we can do is to each of us pick up the phone and dial this number.
202-224-3121.
Say it again.
202-224-3121. I have it memorized.
That's good. Yeah. You're so good with that. That's the U.S. Capitol switchboard. And you dial that number and you ask to be connected to your senator's offices and to your state, or to your U.S. congressperson's office. And you tell them that you want them to support national vote by mail for the November election. Because look, this pandemic is not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
We're going to be continuing to deal with, you know, trying to tamp down the spread of infection, even in November. And it's not going to be safe for people to go out to polling places to cast their ballots.
And here's the thing.
It's not safe.
If you're standing in a line of 1,000 people and you're all standing 6 feet apart, it's still incredibly dangerous. Aerosolized particles just drifting around from person to person, wafting in the breeze.
Absolutely. People should not have to choose between their health and safety and exercising their constitutional right to vote. So call your people and lobby. This is in column B. This is in the column of things that we have the power to do.
Things we can do.
And we need to be exercising. Hey, we're home. We got time to get on the phone.
Yeah, right.
You know, call.
No excuses.
Fill up the messages of your congresspeople. So that is a thing.
So the next can't and can control pair, related but slightly more personal.
Yeah.
Something we can't control at all, and I know this is a big frustrating one for me, and I'm sure for every other single person listening to this, is how our family or friends are thinking and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Can't control it. Very much want to sometimes.
Yeah.
Just can't.
Right.
Wish I could.
Right. Give me an example of something that you wish were that were different.
Well,
I mean, just to flesh it. I know that it doesn't do any good to like dwell on it, but just to flesh it out.
You know, I have various categories of friends and acquaintances, you know, and categories of things that they're doing that I wish they weren't doing. There is a certain subset of people who in times like this engage in a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a way for some types of people to try to rationalize and come to grips with something that is so big they don't fundamentally understand it.
Or to
you
try
know?
To wrap great uncertainty in some insider knowledge or something.
In the same way that people invented blood sacrifices in the 1500s to deal with the full moon. What does this mean?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It's like that. It's just a modern version of that. That's bad. There's definitely a whole lot of people who are still just completely in denial about this.
Mm.
And, I mean, ranging from this is a liberal media hoax. I'm going to go hug everyone I want to. I'm going to go eat in public. And, you know, all of the worst things to, you know, more nuanced versions of denial. Like, well, yeah, it's pretty serious. We might have to be indoors at least through May, you know, which denial.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know the future.
No. But we can read things and listen to experts, so we do kind of know sort of what the future will be, right? Just because it hasn't been said yet by somebody in a governorship or in Washington doesn't mean it's not actually the case.
Right.
Like, we're all intelligent people. We know where to find scientists.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but I guess, But I think what you're saying is, like, there are some people who are just, like, happy talking about it. Like, oh, it's no big deal. It's going to be over soon.
Yeah, it's going to go away in the summer.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that's all in the can't control column, right? Like, it is very easy to look at your friends, your family, who are just maybe being dumbasses, maybe not taking things seriously enough, and go, and you just want to go, you're being a dumbass on not taking this seriously enough.
Right.
Which, you know, not always helpful.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah. So what's the column B?
The column B. And, you know, and it's going to, this one for me feels not super satisfying, but it's what, again, part of the deal with, like, identifying what you can and can't control is also coming to peace with the idea that what's in the column B, what's in the column of things you can control, may not be fully satisfying.
Sure.
But that's acceptance.
Sure.
Right? And acceptance is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And it's, and the can here is identifying and sharing properly vetted information.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, like, you can't make someone change their behavior. You can't make someone think differently about something. But maybe they're having trouble finding good information, or maybe they just don't have as good critical media consumption tools as you do.
Right.
You know? At very least, you can find accurate, properly vetted information and just share it in a kind and uncontroversial, non-confrontational way with the people you love, right?
Yeah.
And just let them know. I mean, if you have to be serious about it, like, I had to do this with my mom. Like, we talked about this a few weeks ago, you know, that whole thing in early March where she was not taking it seriously at all because she was watching too much Fox News. And I really had to, like, do this sustained campaign of, like, just drip feeding her accurate information with like citations and links that she could do more research on. So it wasn't just me saying stuff and couching it all in sorry, I bonked my microphone. Couching it all in a context of, I love you very much. I'm very concerned about you. And I want to have a mom in 12 months. So please just read this.
Right.
And to her vast credit, she did read it, took it on board. And I was lucky. I feel lucky because she actually did change her course of behavior and now has been doing amazing work at isolating for the last 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't control that outcome. I feel grateful that it had a good outcome, the outcome that I wanted. But if it hadn't had the outcome that I wanted, I would have just had to let it go. Because me sharing that, that's like sharing that information over the fence. Like, I can walk up to the fence, but I can't go over that fence.
Right.
And that's it.
You know, it's interesting. Like, there are some times when, for me, it feels like too much for me to take on to be the one to actually find the good information for someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the right choice for me is not to be the one sharing properly vetted information. Sometimes the right choice for me is to just walk away from the conversation and I acknowledge that it's not my responsibility that someone else is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, because sometimes it just feels like too much emotional labor for me to engage in, you know. Obviously, like, when it came time to you know, to do the disinformation, the anti-disinformation campaign with your mom, it really mattered, you know, that she stayed inside and kept herself healthy for her very life's sake.
Yeah.
But there are some interactions where it's like, you know, I just don't have the bandwidth to take on offering a different perspective.
Right.
You know, and it's a perfectly valid choice to not.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Do that in some cases as well.
Yeah, and it's important just to kind of, like, check in with yourself and check in, just, like, see where your boundaries are, see how you're feeling about things, and just, you know, be aware of that, because, you know, we don't want to tap ourselves out. That's important, you know? Like, it's especially in a stressful time like this, like, do what you can and don't push yourself too hard. And if you feel like you're pushing yourself too hard, take a little break.
Yeah.
You know, maybe try again, you know, like, we can all go in cycles of, like, more energy, you know, like, more action, and then take a little break.
Sure.
You know, got to keep your batteries charged up for the long term.
Yeah.
So sort of related, there's the next can pair. Here's another thing we can't change is our family members' politics.
Uh-huh. as it relates to coronavirus.
Sure. As it relates to just all of this, you know, because there is this sort of cultish, there's a subset of people in our country who have this sort of cultish adherence to our current president, you know, regardless of how of the actual things he's saying, the actual things he's doing, these people seem largely uninterested in knowing or critically engaging with that. They just want to be supportive of him and to love everything that he does. And that's it. That's their only desire and their only wish.
I don't get it.
Right. So the can of this, the what we can change, there's no can for this one.
Oh, okay. So.
And that's just one of those things that for me has been like really difficult, you know? Mm. But again, like it's really important to engage with it. For me anyway, it feels important to engage with it head on and just really like really work my acceptance around this thing, right? Like, and I've not always done a great job in this time with this, you know? Mm-hmm. I've gotten to a whole thing with my mom, like over email last week and a half. Time is meaningless. But some distant time in the past, as many as 14 days ago.
Some distant time in the recent past.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And so, you know, and I was right. Every single thing I was saying to her was right.
Yeah.
And also it didn't matter because she didn't have ears to hear it, you know? And around, especially around conservative politics, people don't have ears to hear because it's not just politics. It's more like a cultish flavor of religion.
I don't get it.
Well, it just is what it is, you know? It's not ours to get. It's ours to accept.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I do try to understand it because that's just the nature of things for me.
Yeah.
But yes, it's largely an acceptance. Can I offer though that there actually might be a can?
Yeah, what is it?
I think it goes back to exercising our political power. That we do have, because right now, you know, how other people think about our current president really kind of only matters because he's still in power and like is able to actually inflict harm on humans.
True.
But if we can get him out of office, in November. That will make a difference. And folks can go on believing that he's a good and decent human being all they want, but it won't matter because he won't be in power anymore.
Just do it from a safe distance to the rest of the country.
Yeah, yeah. So the can is to focus our energy on making sure that him specifically and others like him never get to sit at that Oval Office desk ever again.
Yeah, right.
You know?
We need to make better choices.
That's what we can focus our power on doing, getting involved in political commitment. We're going to be spending a lot of time at home. We can do lots of phone banking for local, state, regional candidates or national candidates come November.
Yep.
We can actually get involved in doing this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and
maybe a little less time on Netflix, maybe a little more time on the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got one more thing.
It's the most personal and maybe in some ways the most important.
Yeah. Probably the most overarching sort of thing. And that is that. However it is that you're feeling in any given moment is not something that's within your control.
Yeah. Right?
It just is.
The feelings, like, and they're going to come, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about at the top of the show, like feelings in this time just seem to come unprompted, unbidden from some very deep and primal place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, there's not a single thing we can do about that.
Even in more normal times.
Yeah.
That's the nature of emotions.
Sure.
They are. They just are. They are our, you know, primal reactions to our environment, to our circumstances, to the things happening in our lives. And they just are. It was really powerful for me when I first had the light bulb moment of, I don't actually have the power to change how I'm feeling or the power to change that this feeling is what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
Is that making sense? Yeah. Like that just to accept that this is what it is, you know, that I don't have to feel shame about feeling a particular way. I don't have to feel like I ought to be feeling a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to feel like, you know, like I shouldn't be like, it just is.
Yeah.
Acceptance of this is how I'm feeling, whatever that might be. Because then the flip side, the column B is then available to me. You know, once I can accept the feeling, name the feeling, then the column B opens up to me, mm-hmm. in which I can acknowledge, I've acknowledged the feeling, and then I can address it.
Yeah.
I can figure out what's next.
What do you need?
What do I, yes, the feeling attached to whatever need, and then address the need.
Yeah.
You know? How powerful, you know, to be able to just.
And also how elusive.
What do you mean?
Well, just, it's really hard sometimes when you're in the thrall, in the grip of an emotion like that, mm-hmm. to take that step back.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's so easy just to be consumed by it and almost just to be so inside of it that you're almost having...
This is me now.
Yeah. Like it's almost like a fight or flight thing where you can only engage with the emotion on the emotion's terms.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's hard. It's really hard. And it's not something that comes naturally or easily to everyone. It certainly didn't to me. This
me
is something
either.
That I had to practice for years and years and years.
Yes.
You know, just the idea that I could just in a detached way step back and name an emotion that I was having and not have it be a threatening thing to do.
Right.
Not have it make me be weak, you know?
Right.
Not have it somehow threaten who I am or... Like I used to have so much of my personality invested in being like in control and hardcore
right.
and like in charge of stuff. And, you know, it's threatening when you're a person who wants to think of yourself that way to do things like naming uncomfortable emotions. The very idea that you would even be experiencing discomfort about something in a way that you couldn't address personally.
Oh, right.
Right? Even that's threatening, you know?
Oh, sure.
I don't need to think about my stupid emotions. I just need to have another drink.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I've got tools.
For somebody like me, like I sort of defined myself as being like the one that was always cheerful and happy and, you know, the bright spot for everybody else in the world. And so for me, acknowledging emotions that didn't fit that mold was a threat to my identity,
right?
You know,
same.
And so like, naming those things and or not naming those things and just shoving them under the bed made them much more monstery.
Yeah,
you know, like, and I think that that's been a really helpful tool for me is the idea of naming the monsters under the bed. You know, naming the feelings gives them less power over me. They become just a feeling and not. An all-consuming, this is me now, you know, and just an unknowable tension or whatever that I'm now living in, you know?
Right.
So to name, and the tool of being able to attach a feeling to a need, mm-hmm. you know, I feel this way because I've got a need for fill in the blank.
Or maybe not even because, right? Like another way to think about it is I feel this way. What would help me not feel this way so much?
Right,
and
right,
maybe
right.
that's the thing you need.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
it's not even to address the cause of the situation at all.
Sure.
Maybe it's just to actually address the emotion.
Right. Fair enough. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, when just giving it a name, acknowledging that it is, and that you can't control that it is.
Yeah.
You can't change that it is. Opens up the door for the possibility of deciding what you need next.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that's right.
Man, these have been such helpful tools for me on a daily basis. I mean, in my life in general, in this particular time specifically, going to that toolbox every single day.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard in any kind of intuitive way to practice acceptance around something that feels fundamentally unacceptable.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, totally. But it's also necessary to find any way forward.
Yeah.
In changing our lives to be what we want them to be, to changing our world. You know, in our Misfit Stars group, as sort of a way to sort of conclude this,
mm-hmm.
Today, I think it was our friend Jen Brown shared in the group. I didn't write this down because I just thought of it, but she shared an article or maybe a Medium piece written by somebody about sort of their perspective on this time that we're all living in.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one phrase that stuck out to me, and she was, you know, the article in general was about the idea of like, hey, let go of the idea that you need to be productive in this time of isolation and, you know, staying at home. Like, it's okay. We're all going through trauma. It's all right if you sleep till, you know, noon and you forget to eat. And these are all okay. You don't, you know, stop putting pressure on yourself to, you know, write the next great novel because you've suddenly got all this time at home or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But But the phrase that stuck out to me was that, and I believe I have this right, the world is our work. And that, you know, we think oftentimes about our worth in the world being the things that we were making or producing or putting into it or whatever, you know, but the world itself and how we design, how we live together is collectively our work, you know? And I think that
it's like a collaborative art project.
It really is a collaborative art project that we're each bringing our own color to, right? The piece that I bring to it is unique to me. And I'm able to bring that to the world when I'm staying on top of my own internal work.
Right.
You know? And I think that that's just a lovely way of thinking that, you know, we have to wrestle with these things that seem so impossibly unacceptable. The things that we cannot change that are unacceptable. We got to acknowledge that because that opens the door to the possibility of us cultivating the stuff that we can do, that we can bring to the world, that we can make the world that we want together, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, right on.
I have nothing else.
Nope, same.
I am a cup poured out.
Good.
Today.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the good conversation, sweetheart.
You too.
Yeah,
you too.
So, all right, people, here's the deal. If you are part of our Misfit Stars supportive community and therefore in our private Facebook group, please share with us. We would love to know your perspective on this. What are some things that you've identified that you're, or maybe you're grappling with that you can and can't change? You know, have you been doing any of this work? Have you been forced by circumstances to do some of this work, maybe in an uncomfortable way? You know, we'd love to hear about it. If you're not in the private Facebook group, we would love to have you in there, and you can self-select in there. That's a deal with it. It's not like some weird club where, like, we take applications and some people get rejected or something like that. You can just choose to be in there. And the way you do that is you go to misfitstars.com/join and you become a supporting member. It's becoming a supporting member of the podcast. That's the framework for it. But really, it's becoming a supporting member of Shannon and Jamie.
Yeah.
You know, in this extraordinary time, as people who engage in community-supported art, Shannon and I need more support from our community in a sort of different and more extraordinary way than maybe other times, you know? Typically, we do most of our community engagement in the summertime. We make our year's record and all of our various merchandise items. We throw them all in our little station wagon and we drive like 20,000 miles around the country, stopping at everybody's backyard and living room and engaging you around stories and art and music and the things that we have made, the ideas that we want to share with you. And then, you know, people support that. People give us, you know, donations in the donation vessel after the concert. They'll buy merchandise. It tends to work out okay. That whole tour has been taken off of the table for us this year.
Right.
We can't do that. It's not a thing that can happen. So we are working to get as many people as possible supporting us by supporting this podcast. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. This isn't like a $500 a month kind of thing. This is something that you can afford. Like, if you still have a job, first of all, if you don't, if you are experiencing financial distress in this time, hey, first of all, we get it.
Yeah.
Second of all, just keep listening. Keep spending time with us. Please just like engage with us, message us on Facebook, and we love you and we're so happy that you're part of our team. If you are someone who's listened to this and you still have a job and you are not yet a supporting member of us via this podcast, please change that. Just go to misfitstars.com/join. Memberships start at $5 a month and they go up. If all you can do is five, that's wonderful. But please approach it from the frame of what wouldn't I miss?
Right.
You know?
A very popular level in the last couple of weeks has been this new level that we introduced called $1 a day.
Yeah.
Which is literally $1 a day.
Yeah, that's all it is.
But choose what's right for you and know that by contributing your monetary support to this, that you are supporting the activities that we are currently doing and the plans that we're making to continue to engage in deeper and new ways our community in this time.
Yeah.
You know, ways in which we can hopefully be of service to folks who are figuring out how to navigate this time that we're all living through. You're making that possible, and you're making it possible for those people who can't support us financially to get to engage in those things too. So you're helping hopefully good things to continue in this world in a time when we need it. So thank you very much for doing that.
We have been doing a lot of brainstorming. We have some, I think, genuinely exciting ideas for stuff that we can do to be of service and value to our community in this time. We just need to ensure that we remain indoors to do it, because that's where all of our music making stuff is.
Right.
So, yeah.
So thank you so much. Go to misfitstars.com/join if you want to become a new supporting member. If you are already a supporting member and you want to level up your level of support, you can go to misfitstars.com/level up. And thank you very much for doing that.
So much.
All right, folks. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, can't wait.
More stuff. Take really good care of yourselves between now and then.
Please do. We love you all very much. If you need anything, please send one or both of us a message.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, we'll see you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.